Lord, have mercy. Hear us when we all pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those also trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom.
I really have the honor to introduce Sayyidina Amba Tumas. He is one of the few preachers in the Coptic Church, and we may consider him as one of the junior who traveled all over the world to preach the Word of God. So he actually has a great experience in evangelism in the Coptic Orthodox way. So we really thank you, Sayyidina, for coming, and we'll enjoy tonight his two lectures.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, I'm really delighted to have these meetings, and maybe I've been hoping for courses like that for many years, and I really thank God for Abuna Dawood that he has been giving this gift of making things happen in a very beautiful way. So let's thank God for that. And to think of a missionary, someone, an evangelist, that's not only those who wrote the Gospels. Every one of us, every one of us have a duty to preach the Word of God. Every one of us has a duty to proclaim the righteousness of the Gospel to every person we meet in life. That means the church that has all her members are active missionaries, then this is the church that's surviving. And this is it's a very strong statement. I will go back to John Chrysostom when he is saying that the Christian that has not yet understood the concept of mission, and he's doing mission, not yet understood Christianity. And it's very hard to link this with that. But a lot of us may we think that we can just go out and go to another country and enjoy the mission there, then have a nice trip. It's exactly like this. Some people will go and have a nice trip and come back, see a new culture, new experience, and that would be something good for them. But a missionary is someone else. What is the influence that you have in your community? The community that you live in, the community where you go, and wherever you go, then there is an influence. And what makes the influence? What makes the changes in the life of other people? Why, when we talk about something, and another person would talk about the same thing, someone would have an influence on others, and the others would not listen to. So there is a difference. There are some factors that makes someone very influential, would reach to the heart of the others, and someone else would not, even if they say the same thing. One day I was sitting reading what St. Peter, the day of the Pentecost, said. And I was just sitting and reading, and then I reread again and again and again, and I said, it just took like a few minutes to read this. How come a sermon just few minutes and had all this influence? It's different. So I will put the first factor here, why he made this influence on. I give you an example first before I go to the factor. If I would sit and explain about the test of water, 200 sessions, will that give you a little bit of influence? Will that change your status, what you feel? I will make you worse. I will make your feeling worse, actually. But simply, if I would give you a cup of water, that's something else. But if I will tell you about a new drink that you didn't experience before, maybe I would say to you, okay, did you see the pomegranate? Did you really enjoy it? And then someone say, oh no, I don't know. But here, we need to have a differentiation between information that you are trying to extend and knowledge. And here, one piece of knowledge worth millions of information. And the difference here is very simple. It's experience. When the information unites with the soul, it becomes knowledge. When the knowledge matures, it becomes a vision. And the vision incarnates either in words or in actions, then it becomes reality. Because then the person who is talking, he's talking out of his own feelings, out of his own experience, out of his own vision. That means when this person talks or do something, then it's different. Something that people will listen. And this is actually what the apostles did. All of them, they had an experience. Even Thomas himself, that all of us was talking about him as a doubtful person. But I will really join him in what he said with Jesus. I want to put my finger there. Because I need to feel, I need to experience. And when you talk to someone about your own experience, then you will say something that is meaningful. It will have an impact on others. So here, if you are not able to feel the presence of God in your life, how would you be able to extend it and to talk about Him? So first of all, we need to have someone who has experience. And that doesn't mean that you will have experience on the mission. I'm talking about here the relationship with Christ Himself. And that means it doesn't need long time, but it needs one moment in your life that you will feel the presence of God in your life. It doesn't need long time. It needs the presence. And that means that one of the very good people that they experienced that was the Samaritan woman, Photeneia. Her name was Photeneia, the Samaritan woman, in Arabic, Fotna. So Photeneia experienced the presence of Christ just for one meeting. And what she did, she went and she became a very strong missionary in her village because of the experience. Then here, have the first character. It is your own experience with Christ. Don't talk about a lot of stories and readings from other places, and then you got stuck in one question. But when you talk about your own, people will respect it and will have a trust in you, the credibility that you would have with them would be stronger. Number two, a person with a vision would have an experience, would have an influence on others. Most of us, we have lots of visions in our life. But what kind of a vision is that? And do we feel that we will be able to see the vision of God for us and work through it? I will tell you, in the first chapter of the Bible, when God is talking about His plan, His vision for us, He said, "Let us make man on our image and likeness, so they will rule the earth." So His vision was image and likeness. But when God actually started to create human being, He created human being on His image. On the image of God, He created them. Full stop. This will you find it in verse 26 and 27, chapter 1 of Genesis. So when I start to think about it, so who? Where is the vision of God went? He wanted us to be created on His image and likeness. Then when He created us, He created us on His image. Where the likeness went? It was not mentioned in the Bible. And that means that simply we are able, all the human beings, to relate to the image, but very few would understand the vision of God for us to be His likeness. And to be the likeness of God, that means that you need to think like Him. You need to think like Him. You need to feel Him. And you need to have the same goal. And the vision of human beings, sometimes it is not compatible with God's vision. Because everything sometimes we have, we want it for ourselves. It's us. And that means the vision of God for us becomes so shallow in us, because it's not yet implemented totally within us. Here, a person who would understand the vision of God, that he has to be the likeness of God. And this is what Saint Basil explained to us. God didn't forget it, or He didn't drop it. He just left it for us to grow in it. So when a human being would grow in the Spirit to understand the vision of God, he will be the likeness of God. And when human being lost the vision, then Christ came, God incarnate, and He gave us the full example, the real example of what He wanted us to be in Christ Jesus. So becoming the image of God, the likeness of Christ, then this is the vision of God for us. So where that lays with us here? If a human being would just have another vision then he would never become a missionary. He would never work on a mission. He would work simply to live a good Christian life. That's okay. And he would not, or she would not, care that much about the others, because simply I care about myself, and this is where I am. And if I am not caring for the others, then the vision of God here is not full. Then you will not be able to become a missionary. You will not be able to become the likeness of God unless you understand His vision. And not only understanding His vision, but to live His vision. I gave one day an example to some people, and I said, imagine if Abuna would have two sons, for example, and then one of the sons, one day, he got lost. Some people kidnapped his son. What would be your feelings? Or what would be the feelings of the father? Do you think that this man who has lost his son and some people kidnapped his son, the church of course will come to him and say, oh sorry Avona, and everything would be alright, and we pray for you, and that of course would not make him comfortable. One day he will just wait for someone who have a strong vision. He feels him, and he will go, or a group will go and fight to find the son, the lost son, and bring him back to the father. Most of us, we don't see the feelings of God because we don't see the vision of God. And that's why it's not only experience or a vision, but also feeling the heart of the Father. It's not enough to tell Father God, we love you and I am ready to give you all these 2 weeks so that I will go and spend in a mission or in a mission trip. That's not enough. To feel the heart of God, the heart of the father who has lost his son or his daughter, and how many around us, then here, this feeling will put a little fire in you, that wherever you walk, wherever you go, you find yourself, you're searching for those people that they have lost their contact with his father. And that means a missionary would not have one place or one geographical area he would say that, yes, I am a missionary in this church. Maybe pastoral way of ministering for people would say, I have this congregation and I'm doing the pastoral care for them and this is my area, which is okay. But a missionary, wherever you go, you will have to. I have a story that to tell you here. I was traveling one day in the States, and I had to change flights, so I had to pass a few hours in a transit airport, and I felt like I need to sit and read, and I got a book, and I sat and started to read, and then I forgot myself in reading, and then suddenly I remember that I have a flight, so I was running actually to catch my flight, and while I was running, there was a group of young people who were in a camp, and then as soon as they saw me, they were laughing and they were start to mock and joke and say few bad words. And then I said to myself, I'm in a hurry, but what should I do? Should I return back to tell them who I am? Or should I leave them with this question? Or what I do? Then suddenly I felt like, no, I can't leave them like that. So I stopped. And when they saw me, that I stopped, they get anxious. What's going on here? What will he do? Then I turned and I start to walk very straight towards them. It was very sharp eyes, actually, it was. And then I said, I'm not this that you said. I am Bishop Thomas from the Coptic Orthodox Church, and I'm dressing like this because... And I started to talk with them, and then someone started to say, oh, we are very sorry, we didn't mean that, we are very sorry, but why are you dressing like that? And then I started to explain why we're dressing like this. And a question, and after a question, and suddenly I realized that I spent a few hours with them, and I lost my flight. But I was so happy because I couldn't let it go. Because if I did, I will always keep it in my mind that there was a chance and I lost it. So here, a man that had the heart of a missionary would never let a chance in his life to pass without just saying something about Christ. So this is something that you will... And this is what actually St. Paul was saying about himself in reasonable time and not reasonable time. Good time and not a good time. Whatever. Any time you say, this is where you should do. And that means, of course, your heart should be inflamed. The fourth factor, I think, for the people of God who is working to create an influence with people. It is not the position that makes a human being influential. This is the first level. This is the basic level. For example, you will be sent to work. You will be sent to do a mission and work. You will be sent to become whatever. Or me, I was sent to become a bishop. So being a bishop, that is the first stage of creating an atmosphere of change. People will listen to you because of your position, because of what you stand for. But very soon, people will drop out because simply there was not an influence. Then you need to go to the second level. And the second level here is connection. And connection here, that you need to meet people and connect with, wherever they are, however they are, in whatever condition they are. You don't ask people to come to you. You go to them. Jesus didn't ask us to come to him. He came to us. And of course, when you are asking people to come to you, they will look at you. It's very far away. You are not in an easy going place. You are higher, you're lower, you're faster, you're whatever you are. But people need someone to meet with them in their own step in life. Whether this life is advanced or not. But you need to meet them where they are. It's connection. And to create a connection, this would be the very positive step that you need to go through. But I tell you, that will not create an influence That will not create a change. It will create the atmosphere of acceptance. But yet, there is not a change yet. Then you need to go to the fourth, to the third level of these steps. And the third level here is achievements. People, they need to feel that you made a difference in their own life. You have achieved something with them, whether you convinced them with something, you gave them an idea, you gave them something to think about, you made an achievement there in this person, or you did something good for them and the social level. That's why sometimes when we are doing some social work in missionaries, just to reach to this achievement concept, that people will think that you came and made a little achievement for them. And I tell you, till this level, you are not a missionary. I'll tell you why. Don't be shocked. I tell you why. In the first level of the position, you are there because of who you are. And then there is no change that happens in the life of the people. The second level, there is a connection, but yet people are expecting a lot from you. And when they are expecting a lot from you, and then you did not meet with their expectation, then few days, few years, they will drop out. The third level, you made an achievement, but there is no continuity. David, the prophet, was a great leader. But he reached to the third level only. He made an achievement with people. He killed the Goliath. But what's after that? He made an achievement of his kingdom. But what's next? He didn't leave behind him leaders that they will carry the mission and made a change in the life of the people. He was only someone who made an achievement. Yes, his achievement was great, but the continuity of the achievement was lost. He made an achievement of encouragement for people, a psychological encouragement, but there was no continuity. At the same level, Nehemiah reached to, this is where he went that far. He made an achievement, and the achievement was only building the fence around Jerusalem. So what's next? It was not. And that's why we need from a missionary to go to the fourth step, which is developing people, empowerment of people, made a change in the personal life of people. And this, we have some examples. Jesus did. St. Paul did. After St. Paul died, we found that the church is continuous. What he made foundation for, those churches that he established, he put Timothy and Titus, Philemon, and all these people, they carried on the mission with the same way that he did. Someone, he made a change and a development in the life of those people. Personal development of people. And here, this is the moment, you know, the Arabic saying here, the grandchildren is the dearest. The grandchildren are the dearest. You know why? Because a father father would see his son, and it's great to see his son, but then he is waiting for the continuity. Only he will rest when he would see that his son was fruitful as well. And then he would see the son of his son, or the son of his daughter, or the daughter of his daughter. And that means that it's continuity. And this is a very important step in the life of a missionary. I can't leave a place unless I will just encourage and empower someone to lead. And this is an influence. So a very important character of a missionary is personal development of the others. Development, change in the characters of people, and that makes the people would think more. A missionary would have another character, which I feel like we need to take an example first. When St. Paul, Saul, he was fighting the church, and then Jesus appeared to him, and the change that happened in the life of Saul, but still the church was so afraid of Saul. No one wanted to welcome him, even though that God sent him to Ananias, and Ananias received him, and he prayed for him, and his eyes was opened. He started to restore his sight. But what did you do with him? Ananias was not yet a missionary like Paul. Cannot put them in the same level. Ananias helped Paul in one step, in one stage of his life. But he could not continue. We didn't hear anything about him after that. And the church was so afraid of Paul. No one wanted to welcome him. And imagine if you were Paul, if you were Saul. What would you do? No one wants to accept me. The church is afraid. They think I'm lying. They think I'm not true. Even though it was a strong evidence that he returns back to Christ. And here, there was one person who saw this, and he was able to pick up this man, and he will just empower, disciple, and he will take him to all the disciples, and he stood up for him, and he would tell the disciples, I'm sure that he's good. I'm sure that the Lord will use him. He is a good vessel. He is a good person to deal with. Barnabas was the man who did a very important character, a very important job that we need to use the same, and we have to learn his character. Barnabas saw this man. Maybe we could have lost St. Paul forever if it was not for Barnabas. The church was so afraid of him, and here is a man he would just encourage people to come in. So I think this is an important character that people would need to understand. You need to see these people and stand up for them, the personal development of the others. I think I will stop here for these five characters, and we could take a break, or we could take some questions, and then we could continue. Some questions here is... okay.
Yeah. guy is not talking, I should create a connection. I should try to tell him something about God. I should not.
I think a missionary is not a shy person. You need to have the ability of communication. And this is, of course, another character that we need to put. A person is not a shy person. You could just sit there, talk. I remember in one of the flights, I was going there, and I was really hoping for a good sleep. I love sleeping at in flights. And I was really hoping for sleep without no telephone. No one is asking for me, nothing. And I'm longing for that. And when I go there, someone came sitting next to me, and she's crying. No, come on, God, I need to sleep. But then I also can't leave this person crying, so maybe I could talk a little bit about Christ here. So I thought, is something wrong that I can help you with? No, you can't. So, but I can see that you are in pain. Yes. So maybe you lost someone. Said, no, I left my beloved here. Oh, that's great. So you are in love with someone here in Egypt? Yes, I am in love with someone. And gradually, she told me the whole story, her love story. And that was a very good chance for me to start to talk about, yes, I also have a lover. And I talked about my lover. And as you wanted to express about how much you love this person, and I also want to talk about how much I love this person, you tell me about your lover, I tell you about my lover. And it was a communication. And then, that's it. You drop a seed. You know, when the rain comes in the land, we need to make rains of the Word of God on earth. So if every one of us would just go and like dropping the rain on earth with everyone, you never know what the seeds will happen in this person. You just drop it. Most of the time we think that in one meeting I will change a person to become a Christian. It's very narrow-minded, because you can't make the grass taller by pulling it, can you? Simply. So everything needs to take its time, gradually. And communications here, it doesn't have to be only about Christ loves you. It could be just you as a person with care for the other one, and then let this person talk. And then while they are talking, you say something about Christ. This is what St. Mark did. He just was talking to Ennianus about shoes and wounds and the gods and gradual things. So communication here, it's just simply someone who would like to build a relationship. Don't be shy to talk to anyone, whoever he is or she is.
Excuse me, Sayyidina. How do you see the differences in culture with the message of God? I mean, if you are sitting beside an European woman or old woman, or with an Ethiopian young man or Asian child, is there any difference in the introduction? How do you approach these different people from different cultures and different ages?
I think I found stories makes people really happy, because everybody wants to listen to stories, especially if you're talking about stories that happen to you yourself. You're not borrowing the stories from other people. Imagine that, because people always want to listen to stories, whether they are very intellectual or they are just simple people. And this is what Jesus did. He was telling stories to people. So I myself, I like to talk about stories that happened to me, because it's real, because I feel it, I understand it, I laugh about myself, and it's very safe to talk about yourself, because if the other person doesn't like it, it's okay. This is what happened to me, and I'm telling what happened to me. I'm not stating a statement. I'm telling a story. And you will test this person. This person is receptive or not. If this person is not receptive to your story, then thank you. You try to find another thing. And I found that also the human talks, the very basic human talks, makes a way for people. I mean, like you can't just neglect that we are all human beings and we need someone to care for us and to listen to us and ask about us and be attentive to what is happening. There is always something there in the surrounding of this person that will attract you, and then this would be the thing that you will catch. For example, someone would have a certain type of a tattoo or a certain type of way of dressing, or yes, it's nice, but then you could just make a good comment, not just a sarcastic one, because I could see some people that when they are really, of course, we are different. We can't just make everybody like us. I'm saying this because Jesus accepted a lot of different ethnic groups with their own culture. And that means that He opens for us the universality of knowing God. Before Christ, everyone, all nations were having their ethnic religions, ethnic understanding about God, and they are like islands. Only Jesus, who starts to open it up and starts to make the bridges with the Samaritan or the Phoenicians or the Roman centurions, and this is telling us that we need to also to open up for other cultures and other nations. Yes.
Do I influence others? Do I convince others about Jesus Christ? But the Holy Spirit also gives the power to change the others. So if I'm using
first of all, we are not using the power of the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Holy Spirit. And if we are led by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is doing. But all what I need is just to be a good listener, a good companion to the Holy Spirit. That, of course, was the first character, that I have the vision of God in me, and I have the feelings of God. I want to listen to God's voice in me, and that's all would come in the personal character. This is my experience, and understanding your identity, who you are. Because if you understand who you are, that means you will express who you are. So if you understand that you are this person, Mr. Lawyer, Mr. This or Miss That, that you will put yourself. But if you want to understand that you are the image of God, and this is who you are, and that means everything you will present the image of God. You cannot just divide. It's very beautiful blend. But one thing that I like what you say, that we are not the one who changed people, but we are preparing the way. We are putting a beautiful table for people to just manipulate their appetite so they would want to eat. But if you prepare a lousy table, for example, for people to eat, and not really clean, and so people will lose appetite, and they will just don't want to come. So it's our duty as missionaries to prepare a beautiful table for people to come and eat. Even if you don't invite them, but you prepare the beautiful table for them, they will just be encouraged to join you. And that means, if a missionary is not bringing in every meeting, if you are not bringing good news, you are evangelist, evangelium, good news. If you are not bringing a good news to someone, so you are not. So what is the good news for a person? This person needs to see a good news that connects to them, and this is what the Spirit will tell, and this is what I would have to be attentive to these people. Jesus brought the good news to the Samaritan woman, and he talked with her. She was searching for something, even though this woman was leading a very strange life, 5 husbands, and the one with her is not hers. She was not leading a good standard life with the society at that time. But yet, she was searching for spirituality. She's asking about the worship. She's asking about the Messiah. She's asking about something. And Jesus was so much attentive to her needs, searching for spirituality, and he picked it up and he elevated it, and then he gave her a good news that he is the Messiah. This is our work then. So we are not changing people, but we are preparing a good table for them. Yes. Being led by the Holy Spirit is a whole life. It's a whole life. And being prepared for a mission trip is as much needed to for organizational things. But you can't neglect, and you're preparing for a mission trip, that you are a person that's led by the Holy Spirit. You cannot just separate them. But one is it goes with you for the whole life, and then if you are preparing to go to South Africa or to India or to Japan or wherever, you need then to add to this. I need to understand about the culture, about the language, about the connections and things like that. There's no contradiction. Yes.
Point.
course God will find his way for those people, but also we as human beings, we are always in rush, we are in a hurry always, we want people to come and, but this is sometimes we need to learn to be patient. And you know, there was a lesson that I took from a child. It was in 89. I was just 1 year being a bishop, and then it came to the office, someone, a man with his child, and this child was beating his dad, and he was cursing him, and his dad was pulling him and hitting him, and it was a beautiful fight, but also it was heartbreaking. And this man came to me and said, "Sayyidna, pray for this child." And I said, "Why? He doesn't want to eat," the man said. And I said, "Okay, so what can I do now? I will pray for the child to eat." But I didn't, actually. I took the child and I put him on my lap, and I was caressing the child and I hold him. And imagine what happened, you know, when you are really crying and fighting, and suddenly someone is just understands you, someone just listens to you, then you like something like you see, you know we do that, all of us. And this little child just laid his shoulder on his head on my shoulder, and I was so happy. And his father was so happy because the child starts to calm down. And then I whispered in the ears of this child and said, "Do you know, if you eat the sandwich, you will be as big as your dad." You know what happened? The kid looked at me and said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, of course." The kid inhaled the sandwich. He didn't eat it. He inhaled it. He just like, with everything. And he was happy. And I was happy. His father was just amazed. "How did you do that?" And then I got just like busy talking to this man. And I was telling him some stories, some advices. And then the child starts to look to his dad, to look at me, and to start to look at himself. And then he looked at me and he said, "You lied to me. I'm not big." The child understood that he will become big as immediately. And I lied to him in his eyes because I didn't tell him the full truth. Of course, I didn't let the child to feel that. I talked him out of this, and I was telling him, "If you eat every day, you will grow a little bit," and like this. But the story that is still laying here in my head, sometimes we are behaving like the child. "I want it now." Push the button, it becomes. And this is very strange. But the biggest question that I'm still carrying, I'm not able to answer, why the child didn't want to eat, first of all. Why these people, they don't want to eat? Why these people are not coming? Maybe it's us who is not ready. Maybe it's us who is not preparing good table. Maybe it's us who are rushing and pushing people. People need to experience their freedom of choice. And this is something as well that I feel like we could add to the character of the good missionary. A person who gave freedom of choice to people. You need to put them in a situation that they have to choose. And if they are able to choose something, I will stand up for them. But I can't choose for them. Otherwise, it would not be their own choice. I can advise only. I cannot choose for people. No one has the right to choose for another person, especially in relationship with God and their beliefs. You need to give them the freedom that they would say, I want to do this, and I'm coming by my own free will. The people need to see and to think and to choose. And this is what God also wanted us to experience with Him. He never pushed us to do something. But He wanted us to choose Him with our free will. I can advise. I can stand firm as a lampstand, as a lighthouse. I will always be there. But the choice is for them. And this is an important thing. People sometimes they choose something under pressure. And very soon after this pressure is gone, they would leave. This pressure could be anything.
I'd like to add something concerning your question. If I understood your question properly, if the guy you're talking to him reaches the level that he is eager to know more, I would tell him, do you like to read the Bible? You can get it on the computer, through the internet, or you can buy the Bible from anywhere. I think I should guide him in two specific ways. Why don't you start praying? Why don't you call God and ask Him to let you know Him, to lead you? And next, why don't you read the Bible? You may know better. You may get the answers you need. So if He is going with you, He is asking for more, I think it's better to push Him into these two ways. Not pushing, but just lead him into these two ways. To start praying and reading the Bible. Am I right?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And this is preparing the way. Paving the way. You know, paving the way that you will let this person who's driving or walking understand this is the only way that you can go. It's leading. It's preparing. Paving, this is paved way that you can go through. And don't go this way.
Also concerning the role of the Holy Spirit, if you follow the five points of Sayyidina were saying about the character of the missionary, the Holy Spirit will cover them all. Your experience with God, it's covered by the Holy Spirit. You will never get any experience with God without the Holy Spirit. The second point, the vision. You can never have this vision without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit put the vision inside your heart. The third point was, I got it like how to use the chances available. This is also much related to the holy power inside you. As Sayyidina was saying, he was touched by this group of young men who were mocking him. He stopped and he did not go the flight, but the Holy Spirit guided him to speak with them. Although he was not praying at this moment. I mean, he is always covered by the Holy Spirit. That's the holistic view what Sayyidina was saying. The Holy Spirit covered the whole story. The fourth point of developing people, this is all covered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you how to develop these people, how to discipline these future leaders. And also the last point, how to pick them up. How to look at them and choose what's best for tomorrow. These points are all covered by the Holy Spirit. We need to pray more, but actually when you are going in this track, you will feel the Holy Spirit coverage. Is there any more questions? Yes, please go, Matta. Please go, Habib.
of course we need to know about it, that we are able to reach out for them. Christianity is not a specific culture, but Christianity is adopting all cultures and baptizing all cultures. And that means that Christianity allowed different cultures to express their faith. What we care about is the faith, the dogma, the spirit, and this is an important thing. And the sacramental way of living is an important tool. But still, the cultures, in different places, we are able to baptize them. And what is not conflicting with Christianity and the dogma, we may use, as what happened in Egypt. Of course, there are some people that they wanted to lay the decisions on other people because they have a problem in their own personality of independency and dependency on other people. So this is an important situation, that sometimes people want other people to make their decisions. So here it's a character that we need to deal with, but we talk about the basic line that I am preparing the way, I'm encouraging the person, I'm attracting them, and it's the way that you speak, that you maybe the word persuade could work a little. Because you need to persuade others to make their decisions. I mean, like, if you come to me and you're telling me how beautiful this place is, and it's fantastic, and people are really good there, and I spend a good time there, would it be an encouragement for me that I would just feel maybe I should go and visit this place? It works the same way. People sometimes, they talk about their friends and make the other friends, they want to see this friend that you're talking about. You know the best example, if you got a young man or a young woman just newly engaged or newly in love, and then see how they talk about the other partner. And if you follow that, I think this really would make you understand how you should talk about Christ. Yes, you could see how much they are really shining when they are talking about this person. As soon as the name comes, and it's very sweet in their mouth, and their eyes is just widely open, and they're radiant, and this radiant face is really making you feel, wow, what a beautiful woman she is, even though I didn't see her, maybe I should. Or what a beautiful man he is, or so maybe I should. It's how we put it makes people encouraged. And this is exactly what the apostles went to talk about Christ, with the power of the excitement and the power of the feelings of the resurrection. They conquered the world because they were talking with their feelings, not just telling about a story. It's feelings, and this is what I just said. You need to have an experience, personal experience with Christ, that you are able to talk about it. You are able to talk about the one that you love and you really love. The one that when you talk about him, your eyes are shining and your face is radiant and you have a big smile and you're talking about someone that you really feel in your body, in everything in you. And this is something that people would be attracted to.
Thank you, Sayyidina. And now, before getting the break, 10 minutes break, I would say a few words on the homework. Excuse me. How was the homework of the last week? Please give your homework to Marina or Shahira outside, and we will start the homework of this week. So please write down after me. Okay. We still have another lecture, by the way. But I'm giving the homework عشان انتوا بتجروا بعد كده. This week we will read two chapters. One from Acts 16, from the first verse to 10th. من واحد لعشر. عشر آيات. This is concerning the Saint Paul as a preacher or as a missionary, according to what Sayyidina said. Please analyze this paragraph and get the points of how could Saint Paul or Saul become a preacher, or what are the characters or the characteristics of this personality. So he is very good preacher. You got me? I mean, Saint Paul is a perfect preacher. Okay? How could you prove this from these 10 verses? Okay? Is that easier? Okay, the same applies to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel from the Old Testament. You will read the whole chapter, Daniel 6. And again, you have to put the good points in Daniel, which helped him to be a preacher. He preached to the whole world in his life. We will get it only from this chapter, Daniel 6. Okay? So you have Acts 16 and Daniel 6. Now, this link is here. You can get the link all over. It's written all over. So you can get the presentation and the audio of the lecture Mondays. Audio, yes. You can listen again to the same lecture, and you can see if there is any presentation with the lecture. Okay?